The Asian Classics Institute presents What the Buddha Really Meant with Geshe Michael Roach, recorded live in New York City in November of 1998. This is the beginning of Class 9.
Okay, you graduated, remember, from the mind-only school, and now you get to move up to the middle-way school, okay, which has two groups inside of it, remember, the lower group being the Svatantrika, which has nothing to do with Tantra, it's a similar word, okay, meaning those who are independent, and we talked about the independence. Somebody said this, we should call today's class Independence Day. Anyway, it's the independent group inside the mind-only school, middle-way school, and they have special beliefs about emptiness, which are somewhere between the mind-only school and the prasangika, the consequence school. Okay, so apparently to understand their presentation of emptiness helps you go from mind-only to highest presentation of emptiness. Okay. The presentation, by the way, of the prasangika or the consequence, which is the higher of the two Madhyamika schools, which we'll get to in the next class, is the one that's used for Tantra also. Okay, so that's the ultimate one. Okay, so whether you're going to get enlightened in 75,000, 76,000, and 77,000 countless eons, or in the next 10 years or so, either way, you'd have to use the prasangika presentation. Okay. But we're going to go bridge between those two. We're going to go between those two. Okay. Now the presenting the. By the way, there's a lot of stuff tonight, so you got to put on your thinking cap. We're covering their whole idea of emptiness in one night. Okay. Their ideas about emptiness are a little bit difficult to derive from scripture. Okay. Jetsun Karpa, in his early years, was very confused by the Madhyamika that he was presented with. He had the books from India and he had the lineages from India and he wasn't satisfied. He went through years of trying to work out apparently contradictory explanations or confusing or unclear explanations or like that, and it was mainly Jetsun Karpa who actually helped make the distinction between the Svatantrika and the Prasangika. So although all schools accept that idea and all schools talk about it, still it was a little bit hard to derive what do they believe, you see, because they are Madhyamikans, and it's a certain lineage that split off of Madhyamika at a certain point, Baba Viveka and other masters, and you'll have that in your reading, but it broke off at a certain point, and they started explaining emptiness in a certain way, and it's difficult to derive it. I didn't think the reading from Lekshen Nyingbo would be good for you. It's very long, and it's very obscure in a way. It's based a lot on the tenure. So what I did was I went to the monastic textbooks, which are much more clear. So on this subject of the independent school, if you really want to understand it, if you're a Westerner, I think you have to go beyond the presentation in The Essence of Eloquence, and you have to go to the presentations that happened 50 years later, 100 years later, or even 200 years later. You see what I mean? And as the literature comes up to us from ancient India, if you try to read a sutra, for example, you'll be totally confused. If you tried to sit down and derive the information you're getting in these classes from a sutra, you'd be totally confused. If you went to the Tangier, you'd be only slightly less confused, which is the Indian commentaries. And then if you went to Lord Atisha's period, which is 1,000 years ago, that's very brief and also confusing. It's only with Jetsun Kapa and the first Dalai Lama and the great thinkers of that time that it really starts to get clarified, but even his language is a little hard. So really, to really understand it well, especially this subject, we're going to go to the monastic textbooks. And I've put together what I think is a very beautiful collection of readings from the monastic textbooks on their school, on this school system. And I think you need all of them to understand this school system. And after you get all that stuff pieced together, it's very beautiful. It makes a lot of sense. And if you don't get that presentation, I think it's hopeless. Okay, and you'll see tonight. I'll go through all of it. But if you didn't get it that way, I think you'd be totally lost. Okay, if you do get it that way, it takes a little longer. Okay, but it's much more clear. Okay, so here we go. Again, independent group, the lower group of the middle way school, of all the groups, of all the schools, the least defined, the least clear, the one that you can't really get clear information about in the scriptures. And even Jetsun Kapa was totally frustrated. Of course, he went to Manjushri, and there's a whole beautiful thing. At the beginning, he couldn't see Manjushri, but he could ask questions through his lama named Umapa. So he would ask Umapa questions, and he'd say, "Please convey to Manjushri that I don't understand this point about the Rangyupa, the Swatantrika." And then he would ask Manjushri, and he'd give back the answer. And then at some point, he started to be able to see Manjushri directly. And there's a debate about, well, the decision of the lineage now is that he was Manjushri. Okay, but that's another thing. Okay, the lower half of the Madhyamika school, the independents, say that emptiness, which they don't call emptiness, can be divided into three degrees of emptiness. Okay, so there's an idea that there's three degrees of what they call selflessness. Okay. So you have to be careful. If you're going to take off your mind-only hat, where you used to call emptiness what? Yongdup, or totality. Okay. Now you got to put on your lower Madhyamika hat and say, we do believe in emptiness, but that's only the highest of three degrees of selflessness. Okay, got it? There's three degrees of selflessness, and only the highest one is called emptiness. Okay. Or I should say, only the highest one is real emptiness. And under certain conditions, the other lower two might get called emptiness, but it's not real emptiness. How's that? Okay. So 3 degrees of selflessness in the independent group. They divide selflessness into 3 degrees. Like sort of easy to perceive, lack of a self nature, and then medium hard, lack of a self nature, and then more difficult, lack of a self nature. And that one's real emptiness. But 3 different people in this room, if they had 3 different capacities, spiritual intelligence, all of them would get the first one, only 2/3 of them would get the second one, and only 1/3 of them would get the last one. Okay, so they say there's 3 degrees of emptiness. There's 3 tonglams. There's 3 paths of seeing. There's 3 direct perceptions of selflessness that these 3 guys go through. So there's 3 tracks. There's 5 paths on this track, there's 5 paths on this track, and there's 5 paths on this track. So there's 3 tracks. And each person goes through the track that they can handle. Okay, so track number 1 is for like guys who are are into Svatantrika, right? Independent, but they're not so smart. And they can only see first level emptiness. Okay, and then guys on the second track can see a little bit more about emptiness. And guys on the third level can see real emptiness. Okay, and so they have an idea like that. It's called the 3 degrees of selflessness. Why don't they call it the 3 degrees of emptiness? Because they don't think that the first two are really pure, real emptiness. Although you can say first level, quote, emptiness, okay? I mean, you'll see the word sometimes emptiness applied to the first level one, the easier one. But technically, it's only the third one, which is true emptiness, okay? And there's a part in the text which I put in your reading which says, the three are actually contradictory. Okay? If something is first level selflessness, it cannot be the second level selflessness. If something is second level selflessness, it cannot be true emptiness. So the first two levels of selflessness cannot be true emptiness. So they're different. They're totally different. Okay? Here's the first one. By the way, here's the name that they give. Very famous if you're studying Rangyupa. We do it for 12 years in the monastery. First 12 years in the monastery is Rangyupa. It's called the perfection of wisdom. Okay? And this is it right here, okay? By the way, I'd really like to thank the people who help make all this stuff. I mean, we have like 10, 15 people helping, okay? It's mainly Aura. Rob Haggerty runs out a lot. Eon runs out a lot. He changed his name to Eon, okay? Christy helps. And I mean, there's a whole crew that works for about 3 days, day and night, before you get these things, okay? Say Dagme. Charak. Sum. Dagme. Charak. Sum. Okay. Dagme means selflessness, right? No self-nature, okay? I'm calling it selflessness because I didn't want to use lo ni me, which we've been using no nature of its own or something like that, okay? We're calling it selflessness. You know what it means, okay? It's the thing about the pen, okay? The thing about the pen. If you think the pen is coming from its own side or something like that, you're having a trouble with self. That's a self, a quote self. I think people who translate it should put quotation marks around it because it doesn't exist, right? So-called self, okay? So selflessness, dagme. Cha means subtle. Rak means more gross. You know, you can call it charak. I call it the 3 degrees. You see what I mean? Because in Tibetan, when you make a word for degrees, you add the two extremes together. Cold hot means temperature. Heavy light means weight. So charak means degrees. You see what I mean? Degrees of subtlety. Degrees of subtlety. Sum means three. The 3 degrees. The 3 degrees of the subtlety, or the 3 degrees among selflessness. And this is a big, you know, the other schools probably would accept some of the general divisions, but don't talk specifically about the 3 degrees of selflessness, okay? And again, the borderlines between the different schools are not so clear, really. Once you get really good at this, you'll start to see that there's independents who are leaning towards the mind-only school, there's independents who are leaning towards the sutras, there's sutras who've got little mind-only school in them, and it's not, like, totally clear, okay? So, Dhamma, what are the 3 degrees, okay? What 3 degrees are we talking about? Here's the first one. This is the lowest one. Say, Kausak, Ki, Dagme, Chamo. Kausak, Ki, Dagme, Chamo. Kansa means person, okay? Person. It also means a smoking pipe. A pipe for smoking, so be careful. The same pronunciation. In the monastery, if you go around talking about Kansa, they might say, oh, what are you smoking now there? You know, okay? Of course they don't smoke. But they chew a lot of chewing tobacco. Anyway, Kansa means person. Kansa ki dagme means the selflessness of a person, meaning the lack of a self-nature to a person, okay? Dagme, tamo. Tamo means subtle. Okay? The subtle lack of a self nature of persons. Okay? When we talk about selflessness and we talk about the selflessness, but this is the selflessness of Michael Roach, okay? Or Tessie, or sorry, children, you know, or something like that. The selflessness of a person, as opposed to what we call the selflessness of objects. But the selflessness of objects by itself and the selflessness of objects as a unit opposing the selflessness of objects to the selflessness of persons has a totally different meaning. Okay? When you say selflessness of objects in the context of objects and people, it's talking about the parts of a person. It's not talking about, I mean, you might think when they say, well, there's Jay's selflessness, and then there's the selflessness of all those objects. And you start thinking chairs and stuff like that. It's not like that. It means his selflessness and then the selflessness of his parts. Okay? And you have to keep that in mind when we talk about the selflessness of people as opposed to the selflessness of things. The things is a code word in Buddhist philosophy for the parts of that person. Okay? And that's important. Okay? So this is the subtle lack of a self nature to people. Okay? To Jay. Okay? Like that. And I'm going to describe it later. I'm just going to give you the names of the three, and then we'll go into what would it be like if Jay Han had a self nature. And what would his subtle one be different from his gross one? Okay? Is that a good question? I'll say it again. Is Jehan's self nature, what's the difference between his subtle self nature and his gross self nature? Good question? Oh, really? Is a rabbit's horn 6 inches or 12 inches? Right? We're talking only theory, okay? Tapa tasungi rikpa. Say tapa tasungi rikpa. Tapa tasungi rikpa is a very special logic term that means, you know, theoretical case, you know, in the event that his self-nature existed, what would it be like? Because really, it can't exist, okay? When you're talking about the difference between his subtle self-nature, what it would be like, as opposed to his gross self-nature, what it would be like, you're really talking about the 6-inch rabbit horn as opposed to the 12-inch rabbit horn. You gotta get used to that, okay? We're talking about things that never existed, okay? He doesn't have a self-nature. You gotta get used to that too. But we can still imagine what they're talking about, right? I mean, one person has a wrong idea about emptiness, and another person has another wrong idea about emptiness. Do the objects which their mind is grasping to exist? No. There's no such emptiness. But still you can describe the difference between their two bad ideas. Oh, this guy thinks it's the yellow light, the clear consciousness of the mind, you know, and this guy thinks it's everything except everything. You know what I mean? And so you can describe, even though their existence is equally zero, you can still describe the difference between their two wrong ideas. Okay? So this is the lack of self-nature, subtle lack of self-nature of a person. What happened to the gross lack of self-nature? Shouldn't that be number one? That's so obvious that they don't include it. But we're going to go over it anyway, because it might not be obvious to all of us. Okay? They don't even put it in the category. Okay? They say, come on, nobody would think that, except, you know, those non-Buddhists, you know, or something like that. But we're still going to, and there's a big fight about whether one of the Abhidharma schools called Nemabupas believe in that thing or not. You know, there's a big debate about whether any Buddhist school is dumb enough to believe in a gross self-nature of a person. Okay, but we'll talk about that. Say, Chöki. Dagme. Rakpa. Chöki Dagme. Rakpa. Chö means of things, which now you know is a code word for the parts of a person. Okay? They say, Kansa tan chö ni su chewe kansa. Kansa tan chö ni su chewe chö. It's how you do it in the debate ground. You know, in the dichotomy between person and part, I'm talking about that part. I'm in the dichotomy. Dharma in the dichotomy of Dharma and persons, as opposed to Dharma in general. When you start the debate, you say, I'm not talking about Dharma in general. I'm not talking about objects in general. I'm talking about objects in the dichotomy between objects and people. And then everyone in the debate knows you're onto a totally different object, not objects in general. You're talking about objects when you're debating persons as opposed to objects, meaning persons as opposed to their parts. Okay? Cherokee dogme, the selflessness of objects, right, meaning parts of the person. Rakpa, meaning gross, the easier one to perceive. Okay, when I say gross, I don't mean yiki. I mean easier to perceive, okay? The more obvious one. And we'll talk about what it is. It's an 18-inch rabbit horn. No, 3-inch, cut harder to see. Harder to perceive. Okay. Sorry, its lack is harder to perceive. Okay, now you knew what was coming, right? This is the most difficult to perceive. This is the third of the 3 degrees of subtlety. This is the one that only the smartest independents can perceive, they say. Okay. Say, Chöki, Dagme, Tamo. Chöki, Dagme, Tamo. Chöki Dagme means lack of self to objects, okay, dharmas, meaning here objects, which you know to be a code word for parts of a person. Okay? But this is the tamo version, the subtle version, okay? The finer, the more subtle version, okay? Equivalent to what's coming up there? Okay. All right? In this school, equivalent to tongbanyi, tongyi, shunyata, emptiness. Okay? Emptiness. That wasn't... In this school, the subtle lack of self to objects or the parts of a person is real emptiness. Okay? And you know, you can describe the other ones how. You can say, oh, the emptiness of or the voidness of a self-existent person or something like that. And you're still using the word voidness, but it doesn't mean the same thing. It doesn't mean the highest form of, or real emptiness in this school. Although you can still talk about them as the voidness or the absence of something like that. And you're still using the same word in Tibet, Dzongba. But it doesn't mean emptiness, okay? So be careful about that. Okay? They might describe level number two as, you know, the lack of such and such thing. And they'll use the word in Tibetan for lack, which is the same word as voidness. And don't get tripped up. Don't think that this school thinks that those first two are really emptiness. Although they'll still use the word dongba. They might even use the word dongyi, but they don't believe that it means emptiness when it's just a verb like they lack. Okay. Now we've got to go through what each of those is. Okay. And this you will not get from any single scripture. It has to be called from all the... That's what drove Jetson Kapa crazy, and we still have to do it. Your reading is going to be this big mishmash pulled from all these different texts, which you kind of have to look into before you can get all this stuff straight. But I did go and find the real authoritative sources. So you have this version. This part comes from here, this part comes from there, this part comes from there, and you get it... All together you get a good picture of what they believe. Okay. So the first question we have to ask is, well, what do they mean when they say gross lack of a self nature to whom? Persons or things? What's the easiest one?
Persons.
Yeah, persons. So easy that they didn't even include it in the big three. Okay? This lack of a self nature is so obvious they didn't even include it in the top three. Okay? And here it is. By the way, all of these expressions are extremely famous in the monastery. I couldn't stop the 7-year course and not give them to you, although I'm going to overload you tonight, okay? Your fingers will be sore. I was thinking if I was going to be merciful, I'd tell you which questions are going to be on the quiz and which are not. Those Tibetan guys. Here we go. This is what it is to be a grossly existing self-existence of the person. Say, tak, chik, rawan chen, ki, da. Tak, chik, rawan chen, ki, da. Okay. This one is so bad that they don't even put it in the list. Okay. This, to believe in this kind of self is so gross that they don't even put it in the list. Okay. And I think it's pretty close to what I used to think when I was a child when they said soul, your soul. You know, it's like some part of you that doesn't die when you die. And I always pictured it as being under my chest somewhere. And it looked like Casper the Ghost a little bit. And it was a little clear, like you could see through it. And when I died, it would go up to heaven or something like that. You know what I mean? You must have had some similar idea when you were growing up. And it's some kind of fuzzy, eternal, undying, clear Michael that, you know, when I do my prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know, that He was going to take care of that. You know, the body would get stuck here and they'd bury it, but the soul would fly away. And that's just about the idea, okay? Tattva means unchanging, eternal, never dies, okay? Never changes. Chik means one nice little hole, you know, like, I don't know about you, but whenever they said soul, somehow it was always round. I don't know why. It's like, you know, one whole thing, okay? One nice whole thing, okay? And Rangwan Chen means totally independent, like nothing could affect it. It's not at the mercy of causes and conditions, you know? If I was a good boy or a bad boy, my soul would still be there. It might be damned or it might go to heaven, but my soul is still there. It wasn't caused by anything. It's eternal. It doesn't ever changes. I have it. If I get angry, it's still the same. If I'm nice, it's still the same. It's parked in me forever, unchanging. Okay? Not at the mercy of my life or anything that happens in my life. It can go to a bad place or a good place, but it's this one little whole, little spherical, clear bubble thing that is my essence and never goes away, even when I die. And God has to keep it. I'm praying that He'll keep it. You see what I mean? And that's a self. Okay. I think when they mistranslate Atman as soul, this is what they're thinking of. Okay. But of course you know that there's going to be, that's just a very crude version of what self means. The real one is when you think of the cylinder as a pen and you think the penness is part of it. That's the real meaning of it, but we'll get there. Okay, so this is called the, what would you call this? This is the self that doesn't exist when you're talking about the gross or the obvious lack of a self to people or things?
People.
People, okay? People, alright? This is the one that didn't make it in the list, right? This is the obvious self, or the easy to understand one that doesn't exist. Okay, about people. It's not true about people that they have that little clear little bubble in them that never changes, and not. It doesn't depend on anything else. Okay, like that. Okay, doesn't exist. By the way, the way this came about, I was reading it in scripture. It was very interesting. Lord Buddha said, was talking about, what was it? Who it is that carries the weight of your five heaps. You see? He was talking about carrying the weight of the five heaps. So people said, well, there must be somebody independent of the five heaps. There must be a self. There must be a Michael who's independent of Michael's body and mind. Because Lord Buddha said, you got to carry these five heaps around. You see what I mean? You got to carry these five heaps around. So he must have meant I was something, that my essence was something different than the five heaps. Because like I'm down here and the five heaps are up here and I'm carrying them around, you know. So I must be independent of them. I am not my body, I'm not my mind, I'm not the combination of my body and mind. I'm some kind of eternal being who's loaded down with these. And then he says, throw them off, you see what I mean? Get rid of the five heaps. You see what I mean? So I must be something different. They misinterpreted something the Buddha said. Okay? Now, what would be the next thing we would talk about? Yeah, the subtle version of a self-existent person, okay, which doesn't exist, never existed, can't exist. You're just describing somebody's fantasy, okay? You're describing somebody's wrong idea. A two-headed, purple, 30-foot elephant smashing every chair in this auditorium at this moment, okay? Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Rangwan Chen means independent, totally beyond all other conditions. You know, doesn't matter if it's happy, sad, big, tall, fat, skinny, old, young. You're your soul is there forever, you know, eternal. Okay? Dak means that kind of self. Dak means that kind of self. Should we put quotation marks around it? Yeah, it doesn't exist, so-called self. Okay? I mean, I think translations, to me, they strike me as wrong sometimes when I read them, because they talk about the self, which is, and already it doesn't have quotation marks around the word self. It should have the so-called self, which, you see what I mean? Because it never existed, you see? You have to think like that. We're talking about stuff that never existed. We're just describing different versions of different people's wrong ideas about boogeymen. Okay? And they never existed. It's like, what does a boogeyman mean to you? Oh, he's got these long fangs. Oh, no. They got broken teeth, you know, like Freddy, you know. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And they don't exist anyway. It's just different people's fantasies about something that doesn't exist. Unfortunately, if you have these fantasies, you die. You know what I mean? It kills you to entertain these fantasies. Why? Because you collect karma. Why? Because you get angry. Why? Because you think that person is self-existently stupid. And only then can you get angry. And only then can you collect karma. And only then can you get old and die. So if you fix it from the starting point, which is misunderstanding this person's nature, you won't have those problems. And you won't have to die. Yeah. Yeah, self is a really nasty translation, because also self, as you know, always refers to people. You don't talk about the self of the chair or something like that. You see what I mean? It's a very unsatisfactory word, but we're stuck with it, okay? And it does mean self normally in Tibetan, you know. Dak means me in colloquial Tibetan. Okay. Okay. Oh, look at that, niente. You better write that. Okay. No, we're still stuck on the first one, okay? We're gonna stick to I'm sorry. Just write it, then I'll tell you what it is. Geshe Durenji is to tell us what page to write it on. Skip two pages, go to the bottom, write it there. We're gonna come back in 6 days and fill in those other pages, you know. No, he wouldn't say that, you know. Say niente.
Niente.
Niente. Niente. Okay, now we're starting the idea of the three tracks. Three tracks. Okay, what does track mean? Every good Buddhist has to go, your Buddhist career will go through five stages. Five stages of spiritual realization. Those are arranged in three tracks. You can go to track number one in five stages, track number two in five stages, or track number three in five stages. So how many tracks, how many stages in all? 15, and they call them 15 paths, which is a code word for spiritual stage. What stage are you on? Meaning, what path are you on? You can be, like, for example, you'd be on path number two of track number one. You can say, I'm on path number four of track number two. Or you can say, I skipped from path number four of track number two up to first path of track number three because I was so smart I didn't have to go to number five. See what I mean? And that's called Genden Nyishu, the study of the 20 permutations. There's a flow chart, you know, you can graduate from here to there without going there. Or some people go through all 15, you know. Okay. If you're really smart spiritually, you can just go to the top five and go through them there. Okay? So different kinds. So get used to the idea, three tracks. Okay? Three different tracks. In fact, I'll give you the word for that. Because it's on your homework. Okay. You know, while we're on the subject, now we'll go on later. Okay, Tekpa Su means the three tracks. Okay, Tekpa means Yana, like Mahayana, Hinayana, but here it means something else. It means one of the three tracks. Okay, Su means three tracks. And the first track, meaning the lowest tract, is called Niente. Say Niente.
Niente.
Niente track. Okay. Niente means listener. Okay, listener track. Shravaka in Sanskrit. Okay. Why do they, shru means to listen, okay? Why do they call it listener track? It's very interesting. The literal description of the word, which as Geshe Thubten pointed out, doesn't always fit it technically. But you know, the general description of this word listener is that they can listen to Mahayana teachings. They can even report to other people what the Buddha said regarding the Mahayana, but they don't have the ability to practice it. So they're just listening. Okay? Like this happens in Tantra. You know, people go to Tantric initiation, they get sweet, holy teachings on Tantra, and then they go home and do Sutra. You know, because they just didn't get it. So they even tell their friends about, oh, I'm studying this, and I learned that, and then when they get home, they do Sutra. You know what I mean? Because they just, it doesn't, they're not ready for it. They're not mature enough for it. So Nyenta means that. They can hear it. They can listen to it. They can even tell you what the guy said. But their own practice, they can't do it. Okay? Or they're not attracted to doing it. Okay? Yeah? Sorry? No, we're going on to that next. Okay. This is sometimes translated as hearer. And the next level, the next track involves a solitary somebody. Okay? We'll get to the solitary guy next. Okay? Okay, so if I ask you who practices track number one, you say nyentas, listeners. Okay? It's called the listener track. Okay? Are they Mahayana or Hinayana guys? Tech men. Okay, tech men. Say tech men. Tech means yana, men means hina. Hina even in Hindi means small or inferior. Okay? So tech men means lower way or hinayana. Okay? Again, it doesn't refer to Buddhism practiced in Burma, Sri Lanka, Thailand, like that. Forget that. Okay? There are many people in those countries, millions of totally compassionate bodhisattva people there. And there's probably millions of us Mahayanas who haven't reached compassion yet. Okay? But so it's not like that. Okay? When I'm not talking about Buddhism as practiced in those countries or something like that. We're talking about two different things here. One is that these people don't have bodhicitta yet. Okay? These are theoretical people. Okay? Whether they live in Tibet or Burma, it doesn't matter. Okay? These are anybody who doesn't have it yet, real bodhicitta, but had gotten up to one of the tracks. By the way, just to get up to one of the tracks is an amazing feat. Okay? If in this life you can start the first path of the first track, you're doing really good. Okay? But people who didn't get up to bodhicitta yet are what we call Hinayana. Also, in this school, they have a problem with what? They can't perceive what? Real emptiness. See, I mean, all they can perceive is like a watered-down version, which is not real emptiness. Okay? And that divides the men from the boys. Men being Mahayana, boys being Hinayana. Okay?
But for them, they would experience emptiness for them in their understanding.
She says that. Would they experience their version of emptiness?
Right. In their understanding,
would they? Yeah, they would. If you ask them, do you think that's emptiness? They'd say, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay? If they saw that directly, would they be able to remove their mental afflictions forever? No. According to the Prasangika. Okay? That's a long story. All right? That's a long story. Of course, they understand something of. No. I think technically you have to say they don't even their intellectual understanding of emptiness is already wrong, according to the Prasangika. You know what I mean? That's another subject. If someone comes up to you and says, I heard this from a very respected Buddhist Tibetan American scholar, you know, like a few weeks ago, emptiness means that everything changes. You know what I mean? That's no understanding of emptiness. That doesn't qualify as any of the understandings of emptiness. See, that was way back in some level number one, okay? And you have to learn to deal with changes and then you'll be all right, okay? No. Okay. By the way, I just want your notes for the 7-year course to be complete, okay? I don't expect you to memorize all this tonight. Maybe we should have had a separate course on independent school, but we don't have time. Okay. Okay, say Rankya, Tube, Zeyudu, Tuba. Rankya, Tube, Zeyudu, Tuba. This describes the subtle self of a person. Okay? This describes the more subtle version of the self nature of a person. I think we said it was the 12-inch rabbit horn. Oh no, 6-inch. Okay? This describes the 6-inch rabbit horn. Okay? This is the lowest one of the three levels of selflessness in this school. This is the easiest one to see. Okay? Is it about people or things? People. Okay? This is what ignorance sees in this school at its stupidest level when it looks at a person. Okay? It's looking at a person and it's thinking something about that person, which is totally wrong. Okay? It has this fantasy about a person. Yeah. Right.
Now we're talking about types of self.
Right. You perceive the lack of these three. You see what I mean? Okay? The three emptinesses or the three selflessnesses are the three absences of these three non-existent things. Get it? You gotta get used to that. Now I'm describing the non-existent things that aren't there. Okay? And the first one is the non-existent obvious form of a self nature, of a person. Yeah. Yeah, these are the gotchas. You can say that. That's a very nice way to say it. These are the three gotchas, according to the independence. Would the Prasangikas call the lower two gotchas? No. Okay, not ultimate gotcha. Okay, they'd say those are temporal gotchas. Those are nice to get rid of, but not the ultimate one. They say gacha tartu mayin, not the ultimate form of the gacha. Okay. Okay, say rangya, tupe, zeyudu, tupa. Rangya, tupe, zeyudu, tupa. Rangya tupa is an idiom in Tibetan, okay? It all goes together. Rangya tupa. Rangya tupa means self-standing, stands on its own. Okay? In modern Tibetan, they say Rango Tumba or Rangya Tupa means, you know, I moved out of my house. I'm renting my own apartment in the East Village. I'm Rangya Tupa. You know what I mean? You know, I don't need my parents anymore. I'm standing on my own now. Okay? And that's Rangya Tupa. Zeyud means substantial. Substantial. The word substantial in Buddhist philosophy is extremely important. I went on a long computer search for today. There's at least five different meanings to it. And then I discovered that this Lama named Chankya Rupa Dorje wrote a whole page on it. So I just cut it out and translated it for you. And he actually goes through the five in order. And I've never seen that anywhere. So it's very beautiful. He just gives you, here's the five different meanings that substantial has in Buddhism. You know what I mean? And I really love it because Geshe Thupten Rinchen went through a very detailed description of the highest meaning. And then he said there's these other ones. You know what I mean? So when you see substantial, if you're going to be a long-term Buddhist scholar, Tibetan scholar, you better know there's five different flavors of substantial. And we're actually going to do them tonight because I was so taken up by it that I decided I'll turn in. So leave a page there. Okay, leave a blank page there. We'll come back to the word substantial. Okay, why bother? Is it just some philosophical BS? No, your mind goes through five different ideas that are wrong before it gets to the right one. This is not just some philosophical fighting between different schools. Each one of these was taught by Lord Buddha because you or one of your students is going to be thinking that exact thing. And you better know them. And by the time you get, somebody told me it feels really good to be out of the mind-only school, you know, because they don't think right. But isn't your understanding of emptiness much clearer now? You see what I mean? And it'll get more clear as you learn what each, because somewhere down there is what you thought emptiness was. You see what I mean? Or one of your students is going to think that. You know, somewhere down there in those 4.5 schools of wrong ideas about emptiness is exactly where you are or one of your students. And now you know that you should go up to the fifth, right? Upper half of the fourth, okay? Okay, here we go. So this is what it is, Zeyudadrupa. In this case, I'll tell you in advance, okay? Zeyudadrupa here means there's the five heaps out there and you are behind it like a driver, okay? Yourself, you know, Jehan is is somehow driving this whole thing. This mind and this body are being driven around, directed by this self-standing Jehan. You know what I mean? Okay. I am not one of those parts of the car. I am the driver. Okay. I exist independent of my body and my mind. I'm behind it all, directing the scene. Okay. I have my thoughts. Therefore, I am not my thoughts. And I am lifting my hand. Therefore, I am not my hand. I'm somewhere behind it all, looking at it all, and directing the whole show. Okay? Which makes it very frustrating when you get cancer or something. You see what I mean? Wait a minute. I didn't direct that, you know? And then you start to realize that you're not in control. And there is no self like that. Okay? You gotta get used to that. Okay? There is no person behind the scenes like the Wizard of Oz who's running the show, okay? You are your body and mind, or you're something, okay? But you're not like a self-existent, self-standing, substantial driver who's directing the show, okay? Yeah? You can say like an ego. She says, is it like an ego? You can say that like that. No, you can say that. Anyway, it's a me who's behind the scenes running my body and my mind. And who has control over them. Yeah, right. Tell me you're going to have this shirt tomorrow. You know? Tell me you're going to own this shirt tomorrow. Tell me for sure that you're going to own your shirt tomorrow. Forget your body. You know what I mean? You can't say it. You can't say for sure. It's crazy. You can't say that someone else won't be wearing your shirt tomorrow because you died. You know what I mean? You don't know. You can't say. You don't even run that. So how can you run your body? You know? Yeah. Sorry? I like that you did that. Thank you. That me is unique and personal. Yeah, all of these say that me would be unique and personal. Yeah. No Buddhist school says that you're somehow connected to everybody else or you share a mind stream or something. No Buddhist school says that. Okay. Not even enlightened beings are connected. They're all a separate mind stream. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, no, not like that. That's not. We would call it very nature and features or something like that. Yeah, not like that. Not that one. Okay. Okay, so. Lower track. Talking lower track. Question for you. Who's the people on the lower track? What are they called? Listeners. Okay, listeners. Now you know why. Shravaka. Okay. And are they Hinayana or Mahayana? Hinayana. Okay. By the way, don't forget, we're in the lower school, but we're describing lower school. Okay. How they see emptiness. And what do they perceive when they see selflessness? Let's say on the path of seeing, on their path of seeing, lower track, path number three, realization number three, direct perception of selflessness. What do they see? Directly. It's not true that there's a driver running my body and my mind. They see it directly. Okay. What do they do on the first and second path? Well, what do they do on the second path? They are starting to get intellectual understandings that, what? There's no self running the body and the mind. Okay, that's all. Okay. What are they doing on their fourth path? They're using their direct perception of the fact that there's no driver of the body and the mind back on when they saw selflessness directly to get rid of their mental afflictions. What happens on track one, path number five? They achieve nirvana, lower nirvana. They think it's enlightenment. They thought until they got there. Okay? All right? That's all. Okay? That's all. That's what's going on the lower track. It's all relating to their version of emptiness on that track, which is, it's not true about Michael Roach that there's this guy running his mind and his body who's not part of his mind and his body. Okay? There's no self-standing guy behind him running it, okay? And you tend to think that. You tend to think there is, okay? Especially when you hear your thoughts. Then you think there must be a me separate from my thoughts. You see what I mean? The one who's listening to your thoughts. I mean, in this school, by the way, they say that the self which does exist is the consciousness of your thoughts. Michael Roach is the consciousness of his thoughts. It's very interesting. Dog. Yugyu Dog. The self that does exist, right, is the one who's listening to Michael Roach's thoughts in this school, in the middle, lower half of the middle way school. Yeah. Well, they thought until they got there. It is nirvana. They thought it was going to be enlightenment. Big difference. Okay. Big difference. Nirvana is the permanent removal of your mental afflictions. It could happen tonight. You'd look the same tomorrow morning. Okay. Enlightenment is when your body changes and your mind changes into an enlightened being's body and mind. Omniscience itself. Big difference. Okay. Yeah. Do they permanently remove their mental afflictions? According to what school, please?
According to themselves.
Yeah, they'd say that. The higher school, by the way, would say that they do see emptiness directly, real emptiness. There's no such thing as three degrees of selflessness. You know, you either see it or you don't see it, and it's either 100% emptiness or it's not 100% emptiness. And they do see it, and they do achieve nirvana. Okay, that's what the higher school says. Right? Yeah, but they say they don't perceive the kind of emptiness they thought they saw. Okay, all right. They say it is a tenet of the Prasangika school that Hinayana people, without compassion, without learning bodhicitta at all, can see emptiness directly and remove their mental afflictions. Okay, that's a tenet of the Prasangika school. Okay, that's the position of the Prasangika school. There's a huge debate about it. Okay, all right. By the way, this school says we don't like that because then it makes them Mahayana. If you say that these lower school guys can see real emptiness, then what's the difference between them and Mahayana? Okay. Yeah, they don't say it so much. Okay, all right. But they're like, oh, if they see emptiness directly, they see to a degree. They got to be Mahayana. You can't say that. Then there wouldn't be three tracks. Okay, they say that. That's how they say it. Okay. Okay, somebody asked about solitary whatchamacallit. Here they are. Say Rangyal.
Rangyal.
Rang means, here it means self-made, like a self-made businessman or something like that. Okay. So, Gyalwa means, Victor means Buddha, a Buddha. Self-made Buddhas. Pratyeka Buddhas, okay? Sometimes they call them solitary realizers or something like that. It means self-made Buddha. Okay. I don't know where they got this. There is a kind called the solitary, called the rhino-like, rhinoceros-like, and they like to be alone or something like that. That's a whole different thing, okay? Rangyal means a self-made Buddha. Okay. Question for you, guy. Self-made, by the way, means without a teacher. Okay? Probably they just bought a book from Snow Lion or something. Okay? Okay. Is it possible? Totally impossible. Okay? No such thing. Never. The text specifically says, never was, isn't now, and never will be true that you can get anywhere without a totally qualified teacher. Impossible. Try to learn piano without a teacher. You know, try to learn to do anything that takes a lot of skill without a teacher, much less seeing emptiness of faith. Totally impossible. Completely impossible. Rangyal, the text says, all the scriptures say, have not in this life had a teacher. And then the text always says what right after that? But they had millions in the past. Okay, literally millions. In millions of lifetimes. They have been guided by totally qualified, enlightened spiritual teachers. Okay, and then in the very last life, you know, something can happen, and without formally taking a guru in this life, they achieve Buddhahood. That's also a misnomer. Okay, they're not self-made and they're not Buddhas. Okay, Buddha means lower nirvana. Okay, it's a code word here. There's many code words in Buddhist philosophy. When you say self-made Buddha, Pratyeka Buddha, it means a person who has achieved a lower nirvana without a teacher in this life, after having had millions of teachers in their past life. Okay? That's the whole sentence that they don't tell you. Okay? And all the scriptures say that. And there's no scripture that doesn't say that. Okay? This is track number 2. Are they Hinayana or Mahayana?
Hinayana.
Hinayana. Okay, take men. You already have that, you can just put quotation mark. What about the historical Buddha, meaning what? In this lifetime? I guess not historically, I don't know. You could say he was a self-made real Buddha or something. Oh, by the way, according to Mahayana, he was enlightened long before he came to this planet. Okay, got out of that one. Okay. Take men means... In the debate ground, you quickly change the subject. Taikmen means Hinayana. Okay, this is another Hinayana track. The first two tracks are Hinayana, and the third track is Mahayana. Okay. What kind of emptiness do they see? Quote, emptiness. They see that it's not true that there's the subtle version of the self of the gross version of the self of things. Okay? We're up to things. We finished the two versions of self. We had a gross version that didn't qualify. And then we had a subtle version, which is what, with the lack of which is what the first track people saw. Okay? And now we're up to the obvious form of the lack of a self nature to people or things? Things. Things is harder than people. Okay? In this school. Okay? And here's how we describe it. Ooh. I could have a coffee, probably. Say, Sukdam, Sungjingi, Tema. You guys didn't finish writing, right? Okay, later. That's probably hinting. Okay. Say, Sukgang, Sungjingi, Tema, Zeishengi, Tongba. This is an old friend of yours, you just don't recognize him, okay? He probably has a different haircut or something. Sukh means physical matter, okay? Like chairs, walls, okay? Dung means end. Sung Jingi Tema means, Tema means valid perception, okay? Valid perception, pramana, okay? Yes. Okay, somebody got it. Valid perception. By the way, what's an invalid perception? No, temin, yeah, temo mayimba. But what would be an example? I mean, it happens to me a lot. I don't know why on Fifth Street in Howell, when I'm driving the car in the fall, there's always some leaves going across the road. And for a split second, I think it's an animal, like a cat or a mouse, or a squirrel. There's lots of squirrels there, and I'm like, you know. But that split second of misperception is a temin. And they're rare during your day. You don't have a lot of them. Okay? You have a lot of wrong perceptions. Every second, but they're valid. Okay? Big difference. We'll talk about it some other day. But anyway, a real non-tema is pretty rare. Like to have a totally wrong idea. If somebody's trying to help you and you perceive them as trying to hurt you or something, you know, they're preparing for your secret party and you think they're sneaking around the house trying to steal your money or something. You see what I mean? That's a temin. That's a complete temin. You see what I mean? That would be a non-pramana, but most of your perceptions are pramana. 99% of what happens to you during the day is pramana. Okay? Sukdan, Sungjingi, Tsema. Sungjin means that valid perception which is holding on to that object, which is perceiving that object. Me, my eye consciousness, and that pen. My eye consciousness which is perceiving the pen, and the pen which is being perceived by my eye consciousness. Is it starting to sound familiar? What do you think we're going to say about it? Okay, my visual consciousness, my awareness of that pen and the pen in itself. Zeishengi tomba means they are void, they are devoid. There's a tomba, right? Be careful. It's not emptiness here. It just means void. They are devoid or they don't have zeishen. Different substance. Now, those of you who are in the last class, Tuesday night, does that mean that this pen is my mind? that it's made of my mind. No. Different substance is a code word here for, yeah, they come from a same cause. Okay. They are devoid of a different substance means they come from the same karmic cause. The karma that brought me here tonight to see this pen and the karma that brought the pen here to be seen by me was same. You know? And it's the same with everything around you, okay? And it's pretty obvious if you think about it, you know, whatever karma has created this school building has also brought you here. Okay, that's all. The one that you're experiencing and the one who's experiencing it. Okay? And the fact that they don't come from a different karma seed is a kind of emptiness. Okay? That's a kind of lack of a self nature. The fact that they don't come from separate karmic seeds is a kind of emptiness. Okay? It's second level emptiness in this school. Like, it's pretty hard to see. It's harder to see than that thing about Michael Roach driving his body and mind. That one's pretty obvious. Okay? There's probably, if you took 100 Americans and sat them down and explained that there's no real substantial beings behind their body and mind who's not their body and mind who's running them, then who would understand this stuff about the one karmic seed? That's all. This one's harder to understand. This kind of emptiness or selflessness is harder to understand. Second level. Okay? This is the lack of a self nature to things, which is a little bit easier to see, because we're going to get to the harder one later. Okay? This is second level selflessness. Yeah. The fact that physical matter and the consciousness which is perceiving that physical matter are devoid of any separate substance, which is a code word for are devoid of coming from separate karmic seeds. Okay? Separate karmic seeds. Okay? Yeah? No, if you expressed it in a positive way, these are very good questions. Catch this question, it's beautiful. It's a Buddhi. He said, can you just state it positively? I ask you, is it a kind of emptiness to say, hey, look, you and everything you're seeing come from the same karma? Is that emptiness? Huh?
It can't be emptiness.
No, in this school, right now. Independent hat. Can I say emptiness that way? No, emptiness is always a negative. What am I stating when I say, hey, you know what? You and this pen that you're looking at come from the same karma. I'm stating your dependent origination. Okay, get used to it. Okay, when you say it positively, you are describing the dependent origination of you and this pen. When you flip it around and make it a double negative, it's not true that you were ever anything else. Now you're describing the emptiness. Okay? Very cool. Double negativize the dependent origination, you got the emptiness. Strip out the double negatives from the emptiness and you got the dependent origination. Okay? I got to ask you one question before you totally fog out. It's going to be a long night, okay? I warn you. I see some of you nodding already. If you was mind only, would you stick this in second degree emptiness? This one. Come on, don't be timid. In the debate ground, you got to say, even when you're wrong. Huh? Yeah, mind only school. Forget it, this is emptiness. What are you guys talking about? Okay? This is the highest emptiness. Okay? Of course it's the highest emptiness. You perceive that, you're out of here. Okay? In their school. Okay? When you get graduates to the next school, this one flunks down to number two. It only gets to be second degree emptiness. Selflessness, sorry. Yeah?
Do they talk about Akushi?
Does this school talk about Akushi? No. Not most of them. Okay. It's not official tenet of the independent school that there's a Akushi. There's probably mind-only leaning independent schoolers who might talk about Akushi. Okay. You look like you need a break. We'll go on to the third track later. That has been the second track, and that's the kind of emptiness they see. Okay, in this school. Yeah.
So far you described two tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, and the first self-nature that's lacked didn't make it into one of the tracks.
But is it one of the ones believed by the first
track? No, they'd say not. They'd say people lose that before they get to the first track.
So only the second, third, and fourth one you're going to tell us about.
Yeah. Out of four kinds of self-nature we've talked about, the first one is so dumb that it doesn't even make it into being denied by any of the tracks. Okay? And that's that one where you had a soul. Didn't even make it into... Buddhists don't even bother to deny it because it's so obvious. Okay? All right. Take a break. By the way, I'm going to put on the overhead the Tibetan that you lost when the bulb went out last Tuesday. So if you got nothing to do, you can write out those. Okay. We got up to the third, right? We got up to the third track. Here you go. By the way, I had a correction from Dr. Chilton, who was in Sarah May, when we got the teaching on mind-only school. I said that anything which existed by definition, what was it? Oh, couldn't be Kunzob Denpa, couldn't be deceptive reality. And in his notes, which I think are correct, in the mind-only school, even in the mind-only school, was it the pen is an example of deceptive reality, but it doesn't exist deceptively. How's that? Geshe Thupten Rinzen made a distinction like that. Okay. It doesn't exist deceptively. It exists ultimately, but it's not an example of deceptive reality. And then we gotta cook that, huh? It is a deceptive an example. Sorry, it is an example of deceptive reality. But it exists ultimately. Sorry. Okay. I'm kind of sleepy too. It exists ultimately, but it is an example of deceptive reality. How's that? Pen. Okay. Probably because it's not Yongdrup. It's not what you see in the path of seeing or something like that. Okay. Say Changsem. Changsem. Changsem means bodhisattva. It's a short version for bodhisattva. Chang stands for Changchub. Semba means sattva. Okay. And you can either call sometimes they call the third track Tekchen Mahayana, sometimes they call it Bodhisattva track. Same thing. Okay? Same thing. What do you see when you get there? What version of emptiness? You see, what version of selflessness? Shunyata, Tombanyi. It's the same as the Tongni I put up before. Same thing. Tombanyi and Tongni, same thing. Shunyata. And now supposedly we're going to get a description of what that is, right? What does that mean? Okay. By the way, it's the subtle version of the lack of self to the parts of a person, or what we call objects. Okay. Remember? This is third degree selflessness. Highest form of selflessness. The subtle lack of a self nature to things. Okay. And that's how they describe it. Say, Chitamje, Dembe, Tomba. Chitamje, Dembe, Tomba. Chitamje means everything in the universe, okay? Everything in the universe. Every existing thing. Chit means Dharma, means existing thing. Demba means true existence. True existence. Real. Okay? Real. Denpe Tomba means void, doesn't have that. Stated in normal English, no existing object in the universe has any real existence. Okay? No existing thing in the universe has any real existence. I'm going to shut this off, and actually I think I'm going to cut the class because it's too much after this. We'll add it to the next class, okay? But I want you to get one thing straight in this school, okay? It's very important, okay? What does it mean in the independent school for something to exist truly? You see what I mean? What is the gapcha in this school? Okay? We've had three different flavors, right? We said, maybe it's a self of a person where you are driving this person and this mind around. That's the lowest one, right? That's not real emptiness. Or maybe it's the lack of, what was the second one? Oh, the lack of the being a separate karmic seed to you and the things around you. The fact that there is no, that the fact that there, it's not true that you've come from a separate karma, you and the things around you. But then they went and said, that's not real emptiness in this school. What's real emptiness? Oh, the fact that nothing is real. But what do they mean when they say that? You see, if you don't go that extra step, you don't understand this school. Okay? I mean, you can go around saying that all day, nothing's real. Oh, thanks. What do you mean? Okay? Does that mean I can go stand out in front of a cab? You know? Did you see if it breaks my legs? Okay, I mean? Alright? What does it mean in this school? Very beautiful, okay? I'll give you the Tibetan and then I won't give you the rest of the Tibetan for tonight because I won't overload you, okay? And this one's a little long, okay? But it's very cool because it is the emptiness that bridges between the mind-only school and the prasangika school. If you understand this kind of emptiness, you understood all the wrong ideas about emptiness. You see? Because you got the Abhidharma version of the wrong idea of emptiness. Then you got the sutras version of the wrong idea about emptiness. Now you got the mind-only version of the wrong idea about emptiness. Then you're going to get the lower school's wrong version of emptiness. And if you don't have the right emptiness by then, you know, maybe you should go to another class or something. Okay? And many great lamas have taught it this way. Like who? Like the first Panchen Lama. Beautiful book where he spends the whole book telling you what emptiness is not. And then, you know, the last page he says, guess what? You know, here's what it is. Okay. All right. Kind of long, but you'll appreciate it, okay? Later. I'll give you some time. I'll wait till Rob Haggerty stops writing. Maybe we'll do a little bit of the rest. In the monastery, this is a mantra. You know? When you get to this part in the course, you know, it's just like a mantra. Now Harry is writing really fast. Say lo numela nawe wange shak. Now in the monastery they say shaktam, it's okay. Shakpa mayimba. You, Rangi, Tumo, Mayembe, Dulu, Kingu, Ne, Tupa. Okay. This one sentence tells you what they think, how they think things really do exist, and how they think things don't exist. Okay? The first being dependent origination, the second being emptiness. Okay? How things really do exist, and how things really don't exist. So first I'm going to tell you what it really is, the way things really do exist, according to their school, and then the negative of that is going to be the way they don't exist. Okay? Got it? These are the flip sides of the same coin, dependent origination and emptiness. Get used to it. Okay? So, how in this school do things really exist? Lo nime. Lo means state of mind. Nime means unaffected, unscrewed up. By what? Oh, drugs, alcohol, okay, extreme illness or mental afflictions, like terrible jealousy where you think things are going on when they're not going on, okay? Nume means no problem with that state of mind. It's not messed up by some kind of temporary problems. We're not talking about ultimately screwed up. It is ultimately screwed up. We're talking about what they call short-term problems. You know, that you're on drugs or for some reason you're having misperceptions. strong mental affliction, something like that. Not feeling well, things look different, okay? So nirmay means normal state of mind, unaffected. I translate it as unaffected. Okay? Nawangki means it is appearing to a normal state of mind. Okay? It is appearing to a normal state of mind. Nawa means appearing. That object, back to the pen. Stupid pen is leaking. Okay? It's appearing in a certain way, okay? To a normal state of mind. I'm not on drugs or anything like that. I'm not particularly angry right now, maybe half an hour ago. Okay? And it's appearing to me. Wangki means by virtue of that, Shakpa. We can say it exists. Shakpa means can be established as existing. Shakpa means can be established as existing. How do you know this pen is here? Because I can establish it as existing by virtue of its having appeared to an unaffected state of mind. If a pen appears to an unaffected state of mind, then that pen exists by virtue of that. And we can therefore establish it as existing. That's all. How do we describe the existence of things in the independent school system? If my mind is not screwed up, and if I see it, if it appears to me, then it exists. Okay. When they get more subtle in this school, they say two things have to be there, and in your reading I did the whole thing, okay? The whole chunk. They say two things have to be there, that this sentence means two things. It has to be appearing as a pen from its side, and I have to be seeing it as a pen. Two requirements. Sound like Prasangika? No way. Okay? We're not talking projections here. We're talking it is doing its part and I'm doing my part. It is, thank you, pen. It is appearing as a pen to me. It's doing its part. Okay? And me, for my part, I'm seeing it that way. Okay? Okay? It's appearing. There has to be an appearance from its side and there has to be an unaffected state of mind looking at it. And then somewhere in the middle we have a pen. Due to a cooperated effort between us, both of us. Okay? He's appearing to me, I'm looking at him. Okay? If those two are present, an unscrewed up mind looking at it, and a pen appearing as a pen, then there can be a pen. Then there really is a pen there. You can say there's a pen there. Okay? Yeah, question? No, I'm saying the definition is that the state of mind should not be screwed up. Yeah. No, I didn't say screwed up as part of the appearance. The appearance is whatever the appearance is. And by the way, I'll give you a beautiful example for this school that's in your reading. Okay. And it'll take a little time, and I'll cut the class short. I won't give you the rest of the stuff. We'll do it next class. Okay. And then we'll push the next class into the 11th or something like that. Okay. Which will force you not to miss the review. Okay. You were hoping to have the night off. They say, you know, in India there's these guys that can do magic. If you've ever seen them, they're unbelievable. They have a little stick like that. In Tibetan it's called a diu. Okay? A diu. It means a little stick. Men diu nowadays means bullet, for example. But this stick is about exactly like this. And they throw it on the ground. They sprinkle some kind of dust on the audience. And they do some mantras. These are worldly mantras, they're not tantra, okay? But these are magic words. So they go abracadabra, and they throw the stick on the ground and they spray some kind of cocaine, I don't know. They throw something on the audience, you know. This is called ngak means mantra, worldly mantra, magic words. And ze means some kind of magic powder or something. And then suddenly everybody sees it as a horse. They're all like, whoa, a horse, you know. Actually, there's just a stick there, okay? By the way, this example is not to describe some kind of wrong perceptions, okay? It's just to describe how in this school they believe you perceive everything, okay? And here's how it works. Let's say that later on some more people come and they're like, wow, big crowd. I was in a crowd like that in India, you know? I was like looking over and there's this guy doing magic and it was really cool. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it wasn't quite, it was very close and it was you're like, wow, where did it come from? So, let's say you come later and you're looking over everybody's shoulder. What will you see? A stick, okay? Because you didn't get the stuff on you, okay? What does the magician see? Let's say he sprayed it all over the place. And he heard the mantra. Yeah, he sees a horse. Okay? Now, does he believe in it?
No.
No, okay. What about the people in the audience? Do they believe in it?
Yes.
All of them? No, the ones who were there first. Okay? Then the guy who comes later, does he see a horse? Does he believe it?
No.
No. So there's three permutations, right? The people in the audience who got sprayed see a horse and they believe there's a horse there. The magician sees the horse because he snuffed it too, but he doesn't believe it's there. He knows it's not there. He knows it's just the magic stuff. And then the people who come later say, I don't know what you're talking about. There's just a stick there on the ground and we don't believe in any horse, okay? Now, let me see if I can remember. This represents a person who hasn't seen, in this school, a person who hasn't seen emptiness yet, sees things as truly existing and believes that they are that way. Okay? So a person who hasn't seen emptiness directly yet, and this describes just about any school actually, although they mean a different thing when they say truly existing. Okay? A person who hasn't seen emptiness yet is seeing things wrong and believes them. Okay? A person who has seen emptiness already, immediately after, remember that was one of the experiences of the four Arya truths, immediately after they come out of meditation, they know they're seeing things wrong, but they don't believe it anymore. And they know they can't stop it. They're like schizophrenic for a long time. They know they're seeing things wrong, but they can't stop it. They're like the magician. Okay? And then people who come up later, meaning Daksa La Nepe Changju Semba, a bodhisattva on the eighth bodhisattva bhumi or higher, where they have defeated the tendency of even seeing things that way. You see, I mean, things don't appear to them that way anymore. Due to working on their own mind and their own understanding of emptiness, things don't even appear that way to them anymore. They're like the people who come later. They're like, oh, what are you talking about? No horse and we don't believe in it. Okay? So three levels, okay, of Dhammadrupa, seeing things as self-existing. Here, they see, to have a perception of a pen, and for a pen to exist, two things are required. What? It has to be appearing as a pen, and your mind has to take it as a pen, and that mind can't be screwed up by drugs or whatever. If those two conditions are present, if a normal state of mind sees this appearance as existing, it exists. Okay? And that exists. Mayimbar means, but if that were not the case, okay? Mayimbar means, and if that were not the case, let's suppose it's not the case, you means that object. You means that object. Rangi tumo mayimbe duluk. You had that before. Rangi tumo mayimbe duluk. The whole thing means from its own side, with its own unique identity. Sound familiar? Has it been so long ago? Okay. That object from its own side, through its own unique identity. Okay? Looky, dupa. If it existed that way, okay, now what's this whole sentence mean? Here you go, ready? If there could be a thing, okay? If there could be a thing that could exist from its own side, through its own unique identity, I'll state that again. If there could be a thing that could exist from its own side through its own unique identity, without being simply established as existing, without being simply established as existing by virtue of appearing, its appearing, let's say its appearing. Without just being established as existing by virtue of its appearing to an unaffected state of mind. Now somebody read me the whole thing. Wow. Here, I got Ellie's. Can I borrow that? If there could be a thing that could exist. By the way, whenever you're talking about gachas, I better hear could, if, would, maybe. We're talking about something that doesn't exist, right? So you better throw in a lot of could be and if and were, you know. Okay? Meaning, I know it doesn't exist. I'm just describing something that they think exists. Okay? If there could be a thing that could exist from its own side, with its own unique identity, without being simply established as existing by virtue of its appearing to an unaffected state of mind, got cut off. State of mind, then that would be something that truly existed. Okay? They're describing the gacha, the ultimate gacha in this school. They're describing the ultimate thing that emptiness is empty of. If you could see that this thing didn't exist, you'd be home free. You'd be an Arya. Okay? That's emptiness. If you could see there's no such thing as a pen that comes only from its own side in this school, you've got to have a cooperative effort. You have to think of it as a pen. It has to appear as a pen. This is a beautiful bridge between two schools. Who? Mine only and Tantra Prasangika Nagarjuna Dalai Lama Kenrenpoche. You know, the truth, okay? Beautiful bridge between the mind only who said that that thing, Shenwangs, did exist from their own side to their own unique identity because they exist by definition. And then this school that says, that's crazy, you gotta have the mind seeing it that way and it appearing that way, and then when they meet together, you have an object. And then over here is the Prasangika saying, you guys didn't go far enough. There's nothing coming from that. There's just a cylinder. Okay? There's nothing saying pen from its side. There's a cylinder that suggests, you know, the part suggests pen, but then you're laying pen on it. Okay? And that's all that existence is. Okay? Got it? That's, you're halfway between the mind-only school and the consequence school, the Prasangika school. These guys have the truth. They say it's just your karmic projection on a cylinder. That poor, innocent cylinder, you're making it into a pen. There's nothing from its side that is a pen. And you're laying this trip on that poor, innocent, chewable thing. Okay? Alright? And then over here you have the mind-only school guy saying, that's a pen from its own side, it has its own unique penness. Which is what you think when you get mad at somebody, okay? And then somewhere in the middle is independent schools. And if you get this straight, how beautiful you'll think about emptiness. Your idea of emptiness is very, very clear. You know, 90% of the explanations of emptiness going around today don't even qualify in Buddhism. They don't even make it to first level, first degree emptiness. Oh, everything's changing. Get used to it. You'll be all right. Nothing to do with emptiness, okay? Then somewhere in the middle is what? Independent school. It has penness from its own side, but not a unique penness, okay? They reject a unique penness, okay? Unique meaning without any help from my mind thinking of it that way, okay? Don't forget the word unique gets dropped out here somewhere, okay? Do things exist from their own side in the independent school system? Careful. Careful. In the independent school system, in general, do things have any existence from their own side? Yeah. That's half the story. They have to be appearing, okay? And then you make up the other half. And then you see them that way. Okay? Okay? Do they exist from their own side uniquely with their own unique identity? No, because that implies without me having to think of it that way. Without my unaffected state of mind seeing it that way. Okay? Alright? Got it? So it's very cool. Lord Buddha has set up this gradual refinement of emptiness until you get to the best one. And if you understand that, then you can help your students. When you have students, you can say, somebody come to you and say, oh, I think emptiness is that. You say, oh yeah, you got up to, you know, sutras. Not bad. Let's go up to mind only. Okay? And then you lead them up to mind only, and then you say, you know, you keep going. Okay? Yeah?
So your own presentation of emptiness, right? So far as you use the word cylinder,
has been what?
It's been this school.
My own presentation of emptiness. Yeah, he says that then your presentation has always been independent because you have admitted that there is a cylinder out there. Okay? No. They would say, that's a good point. They would say, no, there's a pen out there. Different, okay? I say there's a basis of imputation, meaning the cylinder, which I think of as a pen from my side. And it is suggesting pen, but it is not yelling pen. How's that? Okay? Big difference, okay? Big difference between it suggesting or it's yelling cylinder from its own side and it's yelling pen from its own side. Jay, are we talking about the emptiness of the pen or the emptiness of the cylinder? Okay? Mata machepa. Mata machepa. Unexamined cylinder. Leave the cylinder alone, says Nagarjuna. Whatever the farmers say, I say. Okay? They say, you know, he said that. He said, come on, there's a cylinder out there. Oh, you want to talk about the cylinder? There's no cylinder there. That's a projection onto the parts of the cylinder. Okay? Mata machepa. Leave the cylinder alone. You know, the thing you're ascribing to, the thing you're putting the projection on, leave the poor thing alone. Okay? All right? For the time being. Okay? When you're discussing the emptiness of the pen. When you start to discuss the emptiness of the cylinder, then start talking about the parts. Because there is no cylinder. Okay? All right? You got to get used to that. And that's what prevents you from getting lost in emptiness. If you teach emptiness wrong to somebody and they start feeling disoriented, you've taught it wrong. And that's breaking a bodhisattva vow. You have to be very careful about it. Okay? Okay. You don't look that tired. How about one minor point? Okay. Yeah. I'll state it again. Would the independent school say there's any pen coming from its side? Yes. Is that enough to establish a pen? No, you've got to have an unaffected state of mind that's seeing it. Not a drunk state of mind that's seeing it, okay? That's a different story, okay? But would they say that that pen has its own unique way of being that comes from its own side? No. No. Unique meaning that could stand alone without me having an unaffected mind to see it, okay? Got it? Okay. Listen to the tape. Okay. I'm getting revenge for the years I spent in class not knowing what the hell was going on. Okay. I want to talk about one minor subject. You got to write both of them. You're getting really tired. Like, which one do I have to write? That's a diamond dealer question. I know. I don't know if you're up for that. Yeah, substantial, right? Let's do it next class. I promise to do it at the beginning of next class. It's important, and I don't want you to do it when you're half asleep, okay? We're going to talk about the five different flavors of substantial next class. Okay. And then we'll push some of the prasangika into the review and force you to come to that. Thank you. Okay, say Gebusum. Gebusum. Tekusum. Tepusum. I used to get really confused about this, okay? And so I'm like giving you something that I used to get confused about because we're on the subject of the three tracks or the three yanas, right? And then I used to hear about a different three yanas. And I used to get really confused about it. And Ken Rinpoche, you know, very kindly, over years and years, kept straightening it out for us. You know, come on, that's not like that, it's not like that, okay? Okay, Gebusu means three kinds of people. Gebu means people. Su means three. This is a word from the Lam Rim teachings. Okay? This is a word from the Lam Rim teachings. It's what you've heard translated as people of three different scopes. Okay. It doesn't mean fat people, medium people, and skinny people. Okay, some people translate it like that. Big person, little person. Pelma, Axel. Okay. Doesn't mean that. Kebusu means people of three different scopes. And you know what they are, okay? First scope person wants to get their rear end out of the lower three realms. They don't want to come back in a hell realm, animal realm, or hungry ghost realm. Okay, their goal in life is to is to collect enough good karma to stay at least in a human realm or better. Okay, and you know, 90% of us never get to that. Okay, this is lower scope. Okay, for themselves. Okay, for themselves. Medium scope is, okay, they understood that even to come back as a human with mental afflictions would be a drag. So their goal is to stay out of all the three realms of samsara. They'd like to get out of the wheel of life. Okay? They don't care if they become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. They're not worried about that. I just don't want to come back even to New York City with this set of mental afflictions. Okay? All right? It's too much suffering. All right? It's out of the wheel. You see, the first scope guy got out of the three lower realms and he's in the three higher realms. The second scope guy got out of the wheel. He's not going to come back even as a human. Okay? He's out of it. Okay? Third scope guy, what fun would it be to be in my own paradise and poor friends of mine back in Manhattan are stuck like that. I'm going to do it for them. Okay? I'm going to get enlightened so I can gain a trillion emanated bodies and I can shoot Dalai Lamas all around the universe. You know? Need a Dalai Lama out on Jupiter? I got one. I got two. Okay? Got a trillion. Okay? You know, they want to be able to do that. They want to be able to show other people how to do it. They don't want to leave their friends behind. Okay? What do you have to do first to do that? Get there yourself. Okay? The Rangsa Shi. Rangsa Shi means eat the meat first. You know, do it yourself first. Then show other people how to do it. And that's their goal in life. That's Mahayana motivation. Okay? I want to get my rear end into total bliss as soon as possible. So I can teach other people how to do it. Okay? That's called Kevasum. That's called the three people or something like that. Okay? You can translate it as the three scopes or something like that. That's a Lamrim concept. Okay? Now we go to Tekvasum. There's two Tekvasums. And you gotta get used to that. Okay? One Tekvasum means three tracks and we finished that already. How do the tracks differ? Well, in the South Svatantrika system, they each see a different degree of emptiness. Okay? For example. Okay? They each depend on different teachings, you know. First track people seem to like the four Arya truths. Second track people seem to like the 12 links. Third track people like perfection and wisdom, you know, something like that, okay? And they reach different goals, okay? Those tracks, we've had the three tracks. What are they in English? Listener? Self-made Buddhas? Who are not self-made and not Buddhas? And Bodhisattvas. Okay, those are the three tracks. Now there's another Tekvasum, okay? There's another Tekvasum, which is, say, Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana. Okay? Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana. And you see that written, you hear it talked about. And that itself is a misnomer. Okay? It's an incorrect division. And that's why I brought it up. I just thought I'd clear up a Dharma rumor while I was here tonight. Okay? And I'll give you the Tibetan, yeah, you want it, right? Where'd that go? I think somebody steals some of these things during the break. There's a story in Tibet of a cow that was covering up the butcher's knife by kicking dirt over it. I think people are throwing away some of these things during the break. Okay, now, here we go. Tekman, you already had it twice tonight. Hinayana. Okay? Not putting down people from other traditions in Burma, Thailand, etc. Doesn't mean that. Okay? Yeah, basically a path which doesn't involve the development of bodhicitta. Okay? Philosophically, a viewpoint that doesn't understand emptiness in the Mahayana way, in either the mind only or the middle way. Okay? Philosophically, okay? That's the first of the three yanas, okay? In Tibetan, Hinayana. Okay? Here's Mahayana. By the way, tek means Those of you who know Tibetan, Gyekpa is a very rare verb that means the capacity of an object to hold up another object. It's used in the definition of a pillar. This pillar is Gyekpa in the roof, which means to support or to hold up the roof. So Gyekpa literally means vehicular capacity. Okay? Seriously. The word yana, really, it doesn't mean vehicle. They got it confused, okay, as with so many things. It's not vehicle, it's vehicular capacity. How much load can you carry? You know, can you take responsibility for taking care of everybody else as well as yourself? Can you feed just not yourself but a couple other thousand people? You know, can you take care of other people also? Okay, what's your capacity as a person? How many other people can you take care of? Okay, that's tekpa, tek. Okay, tekchen means big capacity, ultimate, infinite capacity. Okay, here's Vajrayana, is Dorje Tekpa. Dorje means diamond. Tekpa means yana, vehicle, vehicular capacity. Okay. Do means stone. Je means king. King of stones. Okay. In Sanskrit, Vajra. And that is the correct pronunciation. And please don't rewrite the sadhanas to put Vajra. Okay. It's Vajra. Okay. And that's correct. Okay. Dorje Tekpa. Vajrayana. Okay. Now, the reason I brought this up is there's really only two yanas. Use either Hinayana or Mahayana. There's no such thing as Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. Okay? That's a Dharma rumor. Okay? Mahayana can be divided into secret Mahayana and not secret Mahayana. Okay? So this idea, you know, when people present it as Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana is incorrect. It's really either Hinayana or Mahayana, and Mahayana breaks down into secret Mahayana and open Mahayana. Now, do they have their own names? Yes, they do. I knew you would ask, so I wrote it down for you. And that's the last thing tonight, I swear. And that's literal. Which kind of literal? I'm talking about emptiness. By the way, thank you for doing your homework. It's really good. Okay, I'm glad there's a big pile of homework. Okay. Say Parchingi, Tekpa, Chembo. Parchingi, Tekpa, Chembo. Tekpa Chembo means Tekchen means Mahayana. Okay, Tekpa Chembo means Mahayana. The Mahayana of the Parchins. Parchins means perfections, the six perfections. Okay? The Mahayana of the six perfections. This is the code name given to the open teachings of Mahayana. Okay? This is the code name given to the open teachings of Mahayana. Why do I say code name? Because I want you to know it's not literal. It's figurative. Okay, why? Why do I say it's figurative? Yeah, you think they don't use the six perfections in Tantra? Okay? It's a code name means, okay, we just call them the Mahayana of the six perfections. Okay? This is the name, the code name for the open teachings of Mahayana. But obviously, it's impossible to practice Tantra without the six perfections. Totally impossible. Out of the question. Okay? But it's just a code word. We agree upon this word to mean the open teachings of Mahayana. Okay? So you already see why it's a misnomer to say Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. Okay? Sangat means secret words. Okay? Secret words, meaning mantra. Okay? Mantra. Ki Tekpa Chembo means Mahayana of the secret words. Mahayana of the secret words. Okay? Meaning tantric teachings. Mahayana in the form of secret teachings. Okay? So now when you hear that division, somebody come along and say Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, you're going to say, uh-uh. It's really Hinayana and Mahayana. And Mahayana splits into open ones and secret ones. Okay, that's all. Okay. And by the way, there's another three yanas that means the three tracks. And that's all I want you to know, because I think it's confusing. You get confused. You hear that people say that and you get confused. Okay. That's a Dharma rumor. Yeah. You mean, why is... by the way, why do they say Vajrayana? Vajrayana and greater way of the secret word are synonyms. Okay? Vajrayana and greater way of the secret word are synonyms. Okay? Same thing. Right. Why is the diamond way called the diamond way? That's secret.
Sasi bhagi jushinne sasham viravin shinyande yampati samye shindu mitte huvahi jokunanda shimla
Class 9. You have been listening to What the Buddha Really Meant with Geshe Michael Roach, presented by the Asian Classics Institute. The Asian Classics Institute is dedicated to preserving the pure teachings and practice of Buddhism. For a listing of other topics available, write to the Asian Classics Institute, P.O. Box 20373, New York, New York, 10009. Or call 212-475-7752.